series of lessons. I believe it's the, can you help me with it? It's about the families. I can't think of it. I can't remember the name of it. It's about the families. The last title that I gave, so I can give it. No. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, I'll give it here. I'll just look at it. I just thought about it. I had forgot the title of the lesson. I want to make sure that we have it. It's the history of, I think, the history of the sons of Noah. And so we're going to start in Genesis chapter 10. And this lesson is interesting to me because it allows us to see some history of mankind, and then at the same time we'll look at some things in detail. So look at some things in detail concerning Noah and Shem and Abraham. And I just think it's some interesting information. There's a chart that we're going to come back and show you most likely on next week after dealing with this portion of the lesson. But we're going to review just a little bit, and then we'll move forward from the review. Let's pray first. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for your wisdom. And you have extended that wisdom to us. You enlighten us with it, and we bless you for it. And we just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth, and continue to do so. And we just ask for again, wisdom and understanding, and we seek you for it. And we just bless you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. Genesis 10, verse 1, it says, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." As we've discussed here in the previous lesson, the whole earth was populated by these three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And when you look at the history of these sons, especially when you look at verse 2, from verse 2 all the way through verse 5, when you look at the locations and things like that, because we have to understand that Genesis chapter 10 is giving detailed information before the event happened in Genesis chapter 11. You know, just like we discussed, that Genesis chapter 1 tells you some things, or tells us some things, and then Genesis chapter 2 give the detail of those things. Well, Genesis 10 is the same way. It tells us some things. Genesis 11 gives us the detail of what happened in order for us to understand fully Genesis chapter 10. And so as you see it here, according to the table of nations, during this time frame, you had basically three continents, and when you look at those ancient maps and things like that, it was Asia, Africa, and Europe. And so when you look at the sons of Japheth, after they, the language and the scattering in Genesis chapter 11, they are your European population of people. And when you look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 2 through 5, these are who these are the sons that make up your European nations. And when you look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 6 verse 20, Genesis chapter 10, verse 6 through 20, these are your commonly understood as African tribes. African tribes, because they settled mainly in the regions of Africa. And these are the descendants of Ham, according to Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. Well, there are certain things that we have to understand in reference to this, because of a lack of understanding, then people come to the conclusion that all of your dark race people come from Ham, and that's just not true. And I'll show you one reference to this to prove it to you that this is not true. So just kind of bear with me. It just kind of came to mind. To show you that your dark race people when you look at, just to give you an example of this, when you look at Acts chapter 10, we'll look at verse 37. Acts 10, verse 37 says, "And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, May I speak unto thee, who said, canst thou speak Greek? So, Paul is talking to the chief captain, who asked him, can he speak Greek? Okay. Who asked him, could he speak Greek? Okay, so you're looking at the Greek, the Greek language. It comes from the Grecians, and there are certain things that we can go back and look at their history, but that's not what I want to focus on, okay? So he asked Paul, could he speak Greek? But then he continued on with this. He says, art not thou that Egyptian? Now, when we look at the word Egyptian, and as we look at the word here in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6, to the right of the screen, Paul here is being asked, is he that Egyptian? Because Paul looks like an Egyptian. Now, when we look at the word Egyptian here, the word Egyptian here is Egyptian or an inhabitant of Egyptus, okay? Or he's an Egyptian. So he's asking Paul, aren't thou that Egyptian? Now, when we move to the right of the screen, we want to understand who the Egyptians descend from to prove that Ham is not the father of only the dark race people. Now, when you look at, again, Genesis 10, verse 6, and we look at the definition of Mizraim, Mizraim is a descendant of Ham. And as you see it, it says Upper and Lower Egypt, Egypt, Egyptian. So when we look to the right of the screen here, the man is asking Paul, to the left of the screen, the man in verse 38, Acts 21, verse 38, the man is asking Paul, is he a descendant of Ham? He's never seen Paul before. So he asked Paul, is he a descendant of Ham? He's saying, aren't you that Egyptian? Aren't you a descendant of Mizraim? Because Mizraim is a man who is the father of the Egyptian people. So he's asking Paul, aren't you that Egyptian which before these days made an uproar and led it out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? But Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus. Now, when you look at the word Jew, okay, I am a man which am a Jew. A Jew, it could mean belonging to, Judea or Yehuda, but it's a term that also points that all Jews, the 12 sons of Israel, are classified as Jews, because Paul points out that that in other passages that he's a Jew, especially when you look at it. I'll just pull up another Bible here just to show you. I believe Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Paul says here in Romans 11, he says, I said in, has Yah cast away his people? He says, Yah forbid. He says, no. He said, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So as you see here in verse 28, in the middle of the screen, Acts chapter 21, I said verse 28, which verse was I on? Let me pull that back up. I can't remember which verse I was on. Yeah, verse 38. Okay. Now, as you look at it here, Paul makes it clear in Romans 11, verse 2, that he's of the tribe of Benjamin. Well, you get some people that say only the tribe of Judah are classified as Jews. That's not correct. All Jews are classified, I mean, all of the sons of Israel or Jacob, the 12 sons, including Manasseh and Ephraim, who are his grandson, are identified as Jews, okay? And so as you look at Paul here, Paul says in verse 39, but Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. So Paul called himself a Jew, but he's of the tribe of Benjamin. So your tribe of Benjamin are classified as Jews, okay? And so all of Israel can be classified as Jews. And yes, the tribe of Judah can also be classified as Jews. But any tribe, any son of the children of Israel can be classified as a Jew. Okay? So as you see it here, Paul calls himself an Israelite here. He also tells which tribe he's of. So it confirms that your Israelites are Jews. All Israelites are Jews. Also Jews. Okay? Now, as you look at this again, I'll go out of Romans 11. As you look at it again here, Paul is asked if he's an Egyptian. Why would you ask and a Jew if he's an Egyptian? Never seen him before. He's asking Paul, in a nutshell, aren't you a descendant of Ham? Looking at the right of the screen. So your Jews and your descendants of Ham look alike in physical appearance. So from a perspective of the dark race people, Paul being classified as a dark race man, a black man, an Egyptian, because you have a man that is a Greek who's never seen him before. So when he see him, he said, aren't you a black man? Aren't you a son of Mizraim? Aren't you an Egyptian? So your Jews and your Egyptians look alike in physical appearance. Another fact. We'll pull up another Bible to show you. Genesis chapter 49. Chapter 50. Now, when you look at Genesis chapter 50, we'll go back up. Our father Israel, Jacob dies. Genesis 50 verse 7 saying Joseph went up to bury his father. And with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the noble men of Pharaoh. So these are Egyptians, the elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. Y'all seeing this here. Again, Egypt is Mizraim. So these are the sons of Ham who goes up with Joseph, who is an Israelite, and all the brothers of Joseph. Okay? And with him went up all the servants, which were the noble men of Pharaoh, the elders of his house. So these are noble men. And all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren, so all the Israelites, and his father's house, only the little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen, which is Israel. Egypt. And there went up with them both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. So you have a great company of both Egyptians and Israelites. Okay? And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, who are the Canaanites? Here they are, Genesis 10 to the right of the screen. They are descendants of Ham also, sons of Ham. Okay? So when the sons of Ham saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, who was mourning? Israelites and Egyptians. But when the Canaanites see this mourning, look what they call it. They said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. They could not distinguish because you have the Israelites who were living in Goshen, in Egypt, and you have the Egyptian elders and leaders who came with the Israelites to bury our father Israel or Jacob. Israel and Jacob, one and the same. But when the Canaanites, who are brothers to the Egyptians, as you look at it here, to the right of the screen, and the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Egypt, Foots are your descendants, your Persian tribes. And then also when you look at Canaan, so as you see, Canaan is a descendant of Ham, so he is the brother of Mizraim. So Canaan and Mizraim are brothers. So when you look to the left of the screen here at verse 11, the inhabitants of the land saw their brethren, the Egyptians, with the Israelites, and they saw them and said, they saw the mourning in the floor of Atad. They said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians, wherefore the name of it was called Abel Mizraim. Notice the word mourning of the Egyptian and Mizraim. Abel Mizraim. You look to the right of the screen. Mizraim. Letting you know Mizraim and Egypt is one and the same. And so when the Canaanites saw the Israelites and the Egyptians mourning the Israelites' father, Jacob, Israel, the Canaanites call it a great mourning of the Egyptian. Thus they named it Abel Mizraim, which is beyond Jordan. Now, when you look at the meaning of the word Abel Mizraim, it means meadow of Egypt, a place in Palestine. So this is this area where they're in is Canaan. This is the promised land. This is the land of Israel. But they call it a great mourning of the Egyptian. That's what Abel Mizraim means. The great mourning of the Egyptian. Colon, let you know that's what it's called. So as you see it here, this is the grievous mourning to the Egyptian, colon, wherefore the name was called Abel Mizraim. Abel Mizraim meaning the grievous mourning of the Egyptian. They call both Israelite and Egyptian the mourning of the Egyptian because they couldn't distinguish between the two nations. So Ham is not the progenitor of the dark race people. You have another progenitor of the dark race people. In other words, the father of the dark race people. So no, not all so-called black people come from Ham. It is proven in scripture that Israelites are a dark race people because Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, and Benjamin and Judah were close together. They always within the same vicinity. Matter of fact, Benjamin and Judah was the tribe that mainly stayed with all the kings when the other 10 tribes scattered and went with Jeroboam. So Judah and Benjamin was always close together. So it lets you know that your Benjamites and your Judeans were close, brothers. They were brothers, but they were close. And so Paul was identified as a dark race man. So your tribes of Judah, your tribe of Judah is always also a dark race people. So your Jews are a dark race people. How dark? Black. Ham means black. Look, Ham. It doesn't say it here, but it means Ham means black. Okay. And so, as you look at this, you see that they're calling him an Egyptian. Paul is a black man, so-called black man. He is a Jew, but he's a black man. Your Israelites are a black race of people. We descend from those people. Okay? That's not being prejudiced. That's just telling the truth. Some people can't handle the truth, though. But the truth sets you free. Okay? And so this has to be explained this way so that we can understand the scriptures when we look at it. Again, Paul here, verse 38, verse 37, and as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief priest, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Can thou speak Greek, or not thou that are not thou that Egyptian? Aren't you that African? Aren't you that black man? Aren't you the man who caused some problem? Are you the black man who caused the problem?" Paul said, "No, I'm not that black man who caused the problem. I am a Jew." They were the same in physical appearance. The truth will set you free. Okay? Now, as we go back to the scriptures here, hey man, Melissa, she texted me saying truth. And as you go back to the scriptures here, Genesis 10, verse 7, it said, "And the sons of Cush," Genesis 10, verse 6 says, "And the sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan." And as you see, verse 6 through 20, these are the descendants of Ham. It says, "These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues." Notice, it's letting them know that the sons of Ham spoke the same language. You go to verse 5, it says concerning your European nations who descends from Japheth. These are all your European nations. It says, "By these were the isles of the Gentiles," isles, islings, sea areas, okay? That's where you get the Vikings and all these different things, shipmen and stuff like that. So, you know, to a certain perspective. And so when you see these isles, look at the isles. "By these were the isles," dry land, coastal areas, islands. That's why Europe, islands, Caucasus Mountain regions, these are islands. These are where your European nations come from. Or they went to after they were scattered in Genesis chapter 11. That's where they went to. And so as we move through here, it lets you know that "by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land, everyone after his tongue." So all your European nations, when we were scattered in Genesis chapter 11, they all went to their territory and they spoke the same language. It was three languages after. It was one language initially, and there were three languages after Yah's confounded the languages, and they varied from that point on. But when he separated them, is showing this before Genesis chapter 11. Yah shows you or shows us what's happening. So your sons of Japheth spoke the same language after the scattering in Genesis chapter 11. Your sons of Ham spoke the same language after the scattering in Genesis 11. And your sons of Shem, as we see, the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and Lud and Aram We descend from this nation here. We are descendants of Shem. Your Israelites are descendants of Shem. Okay? And as you continue and look at it, it says, these are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues. Okay? In their lands, after their nations. Okay? Your sons of Shem are your they sell it in portions of Asia and also in portions of the promised land. These are your sons of Shem. Okay? Now, so it says, I'm going to show you a very important part in here that when it talks about the sons of Shem, when you look at verse 35, verse 25, it said, unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days were the earth divided. What is the earth? What is the earth? Let's look at it. For in his days were the earth, land, country, field. You go to Genesis chapter 1. And the earth, chapter 1, same meaning, Eretz. Verse 25, Eretz. So you have the same meaning, Hebrew meaning, the earth. It's dry ground. So what Genesis chapter 10, verse 25 is letting us know that when Peleg was born, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his day, in who day? Eber. For in his day, because it's telling you he has two sons, for in his days, or keep it in this time frame, for in his days was the earth divided. That's when the continents were divided. After Yah scattered them, he divided the continents. That's why when you look at the continents, you can bring them together and they fit like a puzzle. Yah divided it after they scattered the language in order to keep them separated so that they can multiply and replenish the earth. Before then, the earth was one solid dry ground. And the seas was around it. According to Genesis chapter 1, we'll pull it up again. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6, and Yah said, let there be a firmament, which is heaven, in the midst of the waters. So in order for you to understand, we've dealt with this, but I want to explain it again for those who may not have heard it. In order for us to understand the heavens, we have to stay within the boundaries of the scripture. Once we start listening to scientists and things like that, they get us confused, because scientists or science is human knowledge. I don't want human knowledge. I want God knowledge. I want the knowledge that comes from the Most High Yah, who is the creator of all things. So why would I take human knowledge over what he has said? So he tells us how he created the heavens and the earth. And when you look at it in verse 6, he says, let the firmament, which is the heaven, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So he put heaven in the middle of water. And he said the firmament or heaven would divide the waters from the water. Let's look at it. We've dealt with it. And Yah made the firmament and divide the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. The reason why the heavens are blue is because you're seeing water above it. Man has never been out in space. There is no such thing as outer space. We live in a dome because the heaven has water above it and also water beneath it. You can believe human knowledge if you want to. I believe the scriptures. And God made the firmament, heaven, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, heaven, from the waters which were above the firmament. That's why it's blue. That's why the Illuminati or secret society says as above, so beneath. You see water beneath, you see water above. Thus the water is blue, and the water is blue above the heavens. What you're seeing is a dome that has water above it, and Yah lives above that water. That's why the scripture says, and the windows of heaven were open, and it began to rain. Because the heaven has gates or doors that opens up and allow water to come from the water which is above the firmament. Now, again, you can believe human knowledge, or you can believe the word of Yah. It's your choice. Choose this day whom you're going to believe. Thus serve. Now, as we look at it, and Yah made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Yah called the firmament heaven. So what you're looking at is a firmament or a dome that has water above it. Okay? And Yah called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9, and Yah said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry, what's the dry? Let's look at it. I'm going to just read it. And let the dry, it has land, but it's italicized. Let the dry appear, and it was so. And Yah called the dry land, the dry earth, and the gathering together of the water called he seas. And Yah saw that it was good. So when you look at Genesis 10, verse 25, you had land and you had water around the land that has no depth. That's why man has never found the bottom of the ocean. It is endless. It has no depth. And you have the heavens and you have water above it. Well, during the days of Peleg or Eber, Yah divided the continent. And thus you have water between it now. Before then, it was one mass of land and water was wrapped around it. And then you had it to where men could travel the entire earth, dry ground. But when Yah scattered them through the language, he then now separated the earth. And you have seas that go between the dry ground. And now the earth looks exactly the way that it does today. Now, you can believe science, human knowledge, or you can believe Yah. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Okay? So, verse 25, Genesis 10. As you see it here, so we know that the sea was around the earth during this time frame. It was dry ground in the middle. Okay? In Genesis chapter 1. Okay? So, and also in Genesis, all the way up to Genesis chapter 10. Okay? So when you look at it from that perspective, when we see it through Yah's eye, we see how the whole earth was flooded. It rained from the heavens above, and the scripture said that the great deep opened up. Because land mass sits in the middle of water. Above it, you have the land mass, you have a dome on top of it, you have water above it, you have water underneath the dry ground. That's why every time you dig deep now, what you hit? Water. Because that's what's underneath the earth. It is water. It is not a round sphere. It is a flat plain that has mountains and things on top of it. And when it rained, that water flooded the whole earth because it was one dry ground. It was one mass of land, and when Yah flooded it, yes indeed, the entire earth was flooded. Because you had water around it, and you had water come from above it and beneath it, and it flooded out the whole earth. The flood, or so-called Noah's flood, is exactly the way the scripture says that it is. right? Now, as you look at it in Genesis 10, verse 25, and unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. There we have the way that the earth looks the way that it does now. So when scientists, you know, try to explain how it separated one day, we know how it separated. Yah did it. One, no earthquakes and all this kind of stuff. It may have been, I'm just saying. But I'm talking about not from a perspective of how they understand it and try to explain it. The earth was divided by Yah. May have been an earthquake, but Yah caused it. Okay? Now, as we now, verse 32 says, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. So according to scripture, it gives us an understanding that when we get into chapter 11, verse 1, it said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. So we know chapter 10 is telling us something that took place after chapter 11, verse 1 through 9. So you can read chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, and then you go back to chapter 10 and pick it up. So you see the scattering in verse 1 through 9, and chapter 10 tell you where they went after they were scattered. Y'all just mess with us like that. He said, you better study and pay attention, because if you don't, you'll be explaining it all kinds of ways that make no sense whatsoever. But when we allow Yah to reveal the truth and follow his word, precept upon precept, line upon line, we can see it for the truth. Okay? And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. So when you get these people that try to say, no, see, people don't understand. No. The Bible ain't true. The Bible not true. You have Egypt, who's older than, you know, the Egyptian, their understanding, their education, all that is far beyond the Bible. They don't have a clue. They don't know what they're talking about. Egypt is a descendant of Ham. How is he the ancient civilization when he got a daddy and he got a granddaddy? Noah is Egypt's grandfather. So how he going to be the oldest civilization? He can't touch Adam and all them. How is Egypt the oldest ancient civilization? Kemet and all this stuff. Egypt, the oldest ancient civilization. I'm like, what? That boy ain't even old as one of his brothers. When you look at Ham's son, he's not even the oldest one. The technology and the language, I'm going to change that. The technology and the education may have been superior, but it's not ancient. It's not the oldest of it. You just got to understand the truth. So when we look at it according to scripture, we see, man, all this stuff they talking about, ancient this and ancient this, this is the oldest civilization. No, the oldest civilization traveled from the east because they were coming from Mount Ararat. Noah's Ark landed or settled on Mount Ararat, and they start traveling from the east, Turkey. They start traveling from the east and stayed in Shinar, which is modern-day Iraqi territory today. So Babylon is in Iraq region. That opened up a can of worms, because now you understand the issue concerning Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein said that he was a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king of Babylon. And he had found, according to certain scholars or historians, he had found ancient artifacts and things like that of Nebuchadnezzar. And matter of fact, he was rebuilding that place. And above this city, he had his photo on it, and had son of Nebuchadnezzar. He claimed that he was a direct descendant of Nebuchadnezzar in the land of Iraq, which is ancient Babylon. They found he had found the ancient ruins of Babylon and was rebuilding it. Okay, so this thing get deep when you really start snatching the covers off of these things. So they had to make him into a bad guy in order to go in there and take him out. He wasn't as bad as you think. It's funny how we as a nation of people make somebody and then we turn around and break them. We got a habit of doing that. The United States supported them and then turned around and came after them when they decided they was through supporting them. It is what it is. Okay? Now, as you look at it in verse 2, it said, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, ark sellers at Mount Ararat. Okay? They traveled from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar. This word Shinar will at times it'll be called Mesopotamia. At times it will be called Babylon. It's important for us to understand these. So you see these different name change. Don't let it confuse you. It's the same area. Okay? The land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, we know the story, go to, let us make brick. They made brick. And I'm going to just continue to read it. And burned them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top unto heaven may reach is italicized, so it shouldn't be there. So they didn't actually reach where Yah's throne is, because remember, there is heaven, there is water above it, there is Yah's throne above that. So when you look to may reach, it is just a metaphoric term that says that may be in the heights of heaven, because they wanted to worship the host of heaven. It wasn't this great big old thing that you get scholars and stuff to say with miles and miles high and all that, reach way in that. No, you can't breathe when you get up certain height. Get up there in an airplane and let them open the windows up, you want to. They were nowhere close, because it's too cold in certain areas up there. Why do you think when you get up there in a plane, the temperature drop? They went way up there. They built it to a certain height. But the issue here that it implies is that they were worshiping the host of heaven. The host of heaven are your Venus, your Mercury. These are not actual planets. These are stars. So all of your so-called planet are really stars of heaven. They are the host of heaven. That is what they worship. They are not planets. They are lights, illuminations, illuminous. That's all they are. They're not planets. The sun is not a planet. The sun is an illumination. The sun is only a light. The moon is only a light. That's why when you look at the moon at night, there are certain times when the moon is dark. To a certain perspective, you can see stars behind it. Because it's transparent. It's nothing but a light. You can see stars in the moon. How do you see stars in the moon? Because it's nothing but a light up there. The sun is nothing but a light up there. The sun is not bigger than the moon. The sun is the same size as the moon. You can go outside right now and see the sun and the moon in the same heaven. Wait a minute. Human knowledge says that the moon is on the dark side and the sun is on the bright side or the light side. The devil is a lie. Walk outside. You see the sun one direction and the moon in the other direction. I got a video to prove it. They're in the heavens underneath the dome, just like the scripture says that it is. So as you see it here, in verse 4, it says, and they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top unto heaven. says may reach, but whose top under heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth, because it was one dry ground. They didn't want to be scattered all over the dry ground. They wanted to be in one central location together. And Yah had told them, replenish, multiply, fill it, populate the whole earth. They were in defiance against Yah. As we discussed it here, and we look at things in reference to Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10, it points out that Nimrod was a mighty hunter before Yah. Before means against. In other words, Nimrod was the first king, so to speak, or one world order. Nimrod was the first one world order. Nimrod was the first one world order. And so when it says that he was a mighty hunter, when you look at Nimrod and Cush begat Nimrod, he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Before the Lord means he was against Yah. Nimrod was your first anti-God. He tried to lead the people to rebel against God. So that before don't mean that he was in the presence of Yah as in Yah was with him. No, he was against. You look at the word before. We've dealt with it. Verse 9. The word before. It means form, from, front, heaviness. Okay? It means presence, sight, upside. These are forefront. When you look at these terms, it's also said over against. Over against. So when it says before, it is the scripture is letting us know that Nimrod was against God. He was against Yah. Okay? And so as we see it here, so Yah separates their language. He confounds their language. Verse 5, and Yah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Yah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. Now, this is what people say. This is God talking to Jesus. This is Yah talking to the host of heaven. Go to, angels, let us go down and confine their language. You can see in Genesis, when they were getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, there were two angels that came with Yah. It was Yah and two angels. Go to, let us go down. When Abraham stood in the tent of the door and saw three men coming to him, one of them was Yah and the other two were angels who went on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yah stayed with Abraham, and Abraham petitioned Yah to not destroy the city if there was a fruit left in there that were righteous. The two angels went on, Yah stayed. Go to, let us go down. Ain't Jesus. Yah and his host who always carried out his plan. Go to, let us go down. Okay. It also give you the understanding of the let us make man in our image. Yah created the angels who had certain perspective of him, and then he created man who had certain perspective of him. Thus, let us make man in our image, and God created man in his own image, because everything from that perspective comes from Yah, thus us. Go to, let us, angels, go down and confound their language. Angels carry out the missions of the Most High Yah. Again, thus Sodom and Gomorrah. Yah said to the angels, let us go down and see the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes down. He talks with Abraham. The two angels go on and destroy, go on and spy out the city, so to speak. look at the things that's going on in the city, bring Lot and his family out, and Yah destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. Fire and brimstone comes from heaven. Yah the destroyer, but he said, go to, let us go down. Got to understand it in its proper meaning. Yah is the source. There is one God. There is no other. He is God all by himself. And his dear beloved son is his son. He is not God. Yah is God alone. There is none beside him. There is no other. There is no us that created all things. He is God all by himself, who created all things with his word. Thus he said, and it was. Verse 7, go to, let us go down in their confounded language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So who scattered it? Yah. So Yah scattered them abroad from, verse 8. So Yah scattered them abroad from the face, from this upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. The tower was already built. They left off from building the city. When you listen to people that talk about it that don't have the understanding coming from Yah, you think that all they was doing was building this tower. That tower was finished. They was building the city. They left off from building the city. The tower was finished. They was worshiping the host of heaven and building the city. Yah said, go to, let us go down and confound their language. Yah then confounds the language. He is the source by which the language was confounded. Jesus didn't do it because he wasn't there. Okay. Left off of building the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because Yah did confound their language of all the earth. And from this did the Lord Yah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Thus, Genesis 10, the sons of Japheth, the isles. Thus, Ham and his descendants with their language. Thus, Shem and his descendants with their language. All of them were scattered. So, Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9. You can turn around and take Genesis 10 there and stick it in between verse 9 and 10 to understand it. It is fullest. Genesis 11, verse 1 through 9. Then take Genesis 10 and stick it between verse 9 and 10 and you understand it. Thus, when you look at Genesis chapter 10, that's when you look at Genesis chapter 10, you see the harmony. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. After the flood. Or let's do it this way. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel, because Yah did there confound the languages of all the earth. And from this did the Lord Yah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Exact same thing. Verse 32 can fit right after verse 9, and then you continue on with the story from that point on. He said, I show you how the language was scattered, how the nation was scattered along with the language. But now I'm finna concentrate on a specific people. From that point on, he talked about the descendants of Shem, because that's where Israel would come and also the Savior would come through. And the rest of the scriptures is about the descendants of Shem, pretty much, and their encounters with other nations. Because Yah is pointing the way to the Messiah, the Messiah, the seed of Abraham, who would redeem all mankind. From this point on, it's about Abraham and his descendants. After he gives the names here, he tells of the descendants of Shem, because it's vitally important, because Abraham come. And as you look, it starts to talk about Abraham from that point on. Okay? Verse 31, as you see it, matter of fact, when you look at it, I'm not going to read all the names for the sake of the time. I'm just going to show you this is a fact. Verse 10, these are the generation of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. 2 years after the flood. So I'm going to say this, and then I'm, my son listening to me, he's going to put together a chart to let you see what we're going to be discussing. So I'm going to tell you ahead of time. You know that Abraham, our father Abraham, Shem, and Noah lived during the same time. Our father Abraham had encounters with Noah. I think they lived together about 39 years. Noah was living when Abraham was living. You talking about the heritage? You talking about the importance of understanding family heritage and how that was passed down? Can you imagine our father Abraham being taught by Noah? We're going to put all this stuff together to show you that these men lived during the same time. You want to know why Abraham was who he was? He was taught by Noah. He was taught by Shem. He was taught the ways of Yah. That was passed down to him from Noah. Noah lived when Abraham lived. They were living the same time for about 39 years. Noah died about 39 years after Abraham was born. So Abraham has encounters with Shem. Can you imagine that heritage? Can you imagine being in a household with all those generations? We're going to show you on a chart that they lived during this. That's why it gives the verse 10 all the way through. I'm just going to say all the way through verse 32 gives you this chart to let you know that a lot of these men lived during the same time frame. All you got to do is do the math. Abraham knew his grandfather time removed, Noah. Abraham knew him. Man, when I started realizing this, I said, man, this is awesome. Abraham knew Noah. Matter of fact, Abraham died before Shem. Did y'all just hear what I said? Shem is one of the sons of Noah. Abraham died before Shem. Shem was living when Abraham died. So guess what? Shem saw Isaac. Guilty thing. And I think also he saw Jacob. He lived. But we'll confirm all that as we go on. I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself. Yeah, but these are things that we're going to pull out in the scripture. It's fascinating to know that our family saw, and that's why it's important that we keep family and inheritance together from a perspective of kingdom. I ain't talking about all this foolish stuff. That's why I grab my, my children and my grandchildren and things like that, And I want to be in the lie because I want to pass down the laws of my Yah to them. I want to teach them the statutes of I am the patriarch. I want to teach them the statutes of the Most High Yah. I don't want to depend on somebody else to teach them. I am the patriarch to teach my children and their children's children and to pass it down from generation to generation to walk in the righteousness of Yah. Yah is raising up patriarchs. He has raised up a king to bring it about to bring it to pass. The days of the patriarchs are coming back into order. And so as you see it here, These men lived around the same time frame, and again, we'll point these things out. And again, it points out all of the sons of Shem, lead all the way down to Abraham. And as you get up, we get over into Genesis chapter 12. He tells Abraham to separate from this family. When it says his father's house, notice his father went with him. So who is his father's house? You got to run all the way back. Oh, remember, Shem is living. Y'all said, get away from your kindred. That wasn't just talking about Terah, because Terah went with him. Get away from these folk. All of them not following me. So all the Ham, all the Shem's descendant didn't follow y'all. Get away from them. Remember, they were scattered. They were in their own family, spoke their own languages. Y'all said, get away from them. See, when we look at his father's house, and I'm going to close, because I'll be teaching 12. It says, now Yah had said unto Abram, he had already said it, get thee out of thy country. Where is his country? Shem's. And from thy kindred. Who are his kindred? Shem's. And from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Separate from your family, and I'll make you great. So it was bigger than just Terah. When you look in chapter 11, it wasn't just Terah, because as you look here, verse 31 says, and Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees. It lets you know what a region is. What's Ur of Chaldees? Same Babylon, same Iran, same Shinar, same region. To go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran because he did not get into the land of Canaan. He left, and it lets you know that Abram had spoke to, that Yah had spoke to Abram to get out. But Terah went with him because Terah started to follow the Most High Yah. That's why Terah got that far with him. He started to follow along. So it gives the impression that Terah submitted to the things that Abram was doing, but because Terah was the father, the scripture says Terah took Abram his son and went. Yah spoke to Abram. And as you see it here in Genesis 12, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. He spoke to Abram, told him to get from his father's house, but then when you look at it and go back in the chapter 11, Terah went with him. Yah said, get away from your father. Terah was like, man, I don't believe in Yah. I'm going with you. Yah had originally told him, get away from him, because all of them were idolatrous, were idol worshiper, doing idol worshiping. Get away from your kindred. Get away from Shem's house. Get away from your family. Get away from all these folks. So I don't know what kind of life Shem was living. I know we descend from him, but Yah told Abram to get away from his kindred. And I have to stay within the boundaries of the scripture and know who his family was. It was Shem's family, was Abram's family. Yah said, get away from your family. He told him to get away from his father's house also. But when you go back, it lets you know that something took place with Terah to allow Abraham to take him, or Abram to allow him to go. Other than that, Yah had said, get away from your father's house. Get away from your father. But as you see, Terah went with him. So Terah had to follow Yah also, or Abram would have separated from his father. That's how we have to allow Yah to show us the scriptures. Okay? Terah followed the God of Abraham. He died in the land of Haran. Other than that, Abram would have had to separate from Terah. I tell you the truth. If family don't follow Yah, I separate from family. I don't care who they are. Okay? I'm going to stop right there. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay. What we'll do is, again, we'll pick up in Genesis chapter 11. We'll pick up there next week, and we'll start to deal with verse 10. And we're going to look at these names. We're going to put together a chart to show you the time frame when all of these men lived. And you'll see that they intertwine with one another to show us that Abraham indeed lived at the time, during the time frame of Noah, for about 39 years. Boy, that's a rich heritage. Okay? All righty. We'll stop there. Father Yah, we just bless you on today, and we thank you for bringing us into another facet of understanding. We just seek you always for wisdom, and we're glad to encounter the privilege that you're leading and guiding us in truth. And we declare that we will always make adjustments as you reveal to us that truth. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.